This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everything you're about to hear is for education and entertainment purposes only. Whilst we are licensed, we're not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any advice is general advice. Equity Mates operates under Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Equity Mates!
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to Equity Mates Investing, a podcast where we explore what's possible in the world of investing. If you've just joined us for the first time, a huge welcome. My name is Bryce, and today we are discussing our portfolio moves. We have Europe's answer to the Magnificent Seven and a community question on compounding. To chat through it, as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode. As we like to talk about here at Equity Mates, over the long term, markets grow. And there's no better example of this than the Magnificent Seven growing into the Magnificent 11.
Nice.
And if people aren't sure what the Magnificent 11 is, stay tuned for the second segment.
Oh, God.
Because that's Europe's answer to that Magnificent Seven.
The Magnificent Seven, yeah. They do have an acronym that was coined by Goldman Sachs.
We'll get to that.
Now, before the show kicks off, Ren, I have a big favor to ask from the community.
Oh, good. Not from me.
Not from you, okay, no. Great. From the community. We've done a lot of work over the last sort of 6 months with some new concepts and new segments that have come in. Pimp My Portfolio, Book Club is back. Industry deep dives are coming. And we really sort of thank you for everything that you have given us in the community survey. If you're enjoying the show and really getting a lot of value out of it, if you can leave a review and rate us on your podcast app, that would be awesome. We would really appreciate it, and it goes a long way to helping us find new Equity Mates listeners. So if you love what we're doing and you appreciate it and you're getting a lot of value out of it, big favor, please just leave 5 stars and a review.
Yeah.
Done.
Nice. So first segment here is all about portfolio moves, and you've really been making more moves than I have. So over to you.
Oh, this is something that we've been talking about offline for a bit.
Fairlight,
yeah.
Okay, so for context, Fairlight Asset Management is a small cap manager here in Australia. They have come on the show a number of times. We've spoken to Nick Cregan probably twice.
Couple of times, yeah.
Then Will Dowd.
He was part
Maybe
of the summer series,
well.
Yeah, did the trucking company.
And I think this has been over years, yeah. Since maybe like 21.
Yeah.
I reckon every time we finish the interview, I ask if I can invest with them, and I never do.
No.
and I think you're about to tell me that you've stolen my thunder.
Yeah, well, I've made an investment, but I think to go back a step, so a couple of episodes ago, EM chats ago, we spoke about how I had some, we did the lump sum versus dollar cost average conversation, and I had a bit of lump sum cash sitting on the side that you were like, why is
quote,
it not?
Swimming in pools of cash.
No, you won't be able to pull that quote up. Had some money sitting there, and my wife has also been keen to do some joint investments. She has her portfolio, I have mine, but she's been keen to do some joint. And so I thought that was a good opportunity to make this investment into Fairlight. Okay. So we've done this together.
Why Fairlight?
Just because it's a fresh investment and it's not in any of our brokerage accounts. This is direct with them. Mm-hmm. And it was easy to set up as a joint. So I think from just the, without having to join brokers or anything like that, this is just a clean way to start our journey of investing together.
Nice.
For everyone listening at home, so Fairlight, they are a global small and mid-cap fund manager, and we get super excited every time they come on. And for me, this is now pseudo outsourcing my satellite portfolio. This is how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is what active management, yeah.
You could, you know, because we've done a lot in Pimp My Portfolios now with Luke, and I have taken a bit of, you know, not advice, but have listened to what he's been saying in some part around, you know, thoughts around the value that active managers can bring. And so when I think about how my portfolio is set up now, we've got the core component that I'm super happy with, and I've got a great strategy there, and it's just going in. I've got a number of smaller satellite positions, but the biggest emission in my portfolio, Ren, is small caps. And so if I think about the skills and resources I have to go out and find good small caps versus giving my money to someone else, I think that's where I've landed. And so whilst they've only been around since 2018, they have had pretty impressive performance against their benchmark, and I'm willing to back them in.
How have they gone?
So they benchmarked themselves against the MSCI World Small to Mid-Cap Index. It's performed 9.6% since inception, since 2018 per annum, whereas Fairlight have done just over 14% per annum after fees.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that is worth talking about. We do talk about low cost and all that sort of stuff on the show. This is where, you know, it makes a little bit more sense to pay a bit higher fees, or I'm comfortable in paying it. They do have a management fee of 1.25% and an admin fee of 0.05%. And then they have a 15% for performance fee when they outperform the benchmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's expensive.
It is expensive.
But, yeah, you know, if they're doing, what, 4 or 5% above the benchmark after fees, then that's why you pay.
That's why you pay. Yeah. So how I'm thinking about this is something that I will continue to invest in just like I do my core. But this will, you know, it certainly won't be a position the size of my core. It's going to sit in that sort of satellite spot. But yeah, this is outsourcing a fair chunk of that satellite for me.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Great. Have you used any of your equity mates' influence to like get a better rate or anything?
No.
Okay. TBC.
Should have, yeah.
So I can see here you've had a look at some of their top holdings. And I think the reason that I always get really excited when we speak to the guys from Fairlight is they always bring interesting companies that I haven't heard of. Mm. And for me, that's a real hallmark of, you know, people who are doing different work or more work or are living in different circles and researching in different ways. And that's really what you want when you've got an active manager. You want like a different view of the world or a different opportunity set.
Yeah, I don't want them buying things that I could otherwise do myself.
Yeah, if their portfolio is Nvidia, Spotify and Facebook, it's like, well, I know those companies and I could buy them.
Exactly.
And, you know, that never was that more clear than when Will Dowd joined us in the summer series and he spoke about Landstar Trucking, a company that I'd never heard of, but a really interesting one. So tell us about some of the companies in their top five.
Their top position is a company called Auto Trader Group. They're an online marketplace for car buyers and sellers. I'm pretty sure he came on and spoke about that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The second one we've spoken about on the show before is Constellation Software.
Oh, so when we say we're really stretching the definition of small caps here, aren't we?
Oh, so they invest in anything from 500 million to 30 billion.
Market cap,
yeah.
And what's Constellation?
I think we're somewhat skewed here in Australia with our views on small cap.
Hold on. Constellation is 76 billion.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, on their website it says 500 million to 30 billion. Maybe it's from initial investment.
I mean, it's US, so this would be 76 billion Canadian dollars. So let's go to USD. Still 56 billion US.
Maybe it's from the time of investment.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the
maybe
universe.
They're letting their winners run.
They're letting it run.
Well, Will or Nick or anyone from Fairlight, if you're listening,
I'll send an email and come back to it on that one.
Sure.
I'll have an answer because it's a good question. But yeah, their universe is, they say on their website, 500 million to $30 billion and they invest in 30 to 40 stocks. But to close out their top five, they have a company called Diploma PLC. When I looked it up, it was just a classic. All they do is supply specialized technical products and services. So, yeah. And then Gartner and Scout24, so IT consulting and another online marketplace, make up their top five. So of the five, I've only heard of two of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing is a British stock, a Canadian stock, a British stock, an American stock, and then I think a German stock.
Mm.
So one US stock in the top five.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
Love to see it. So, yeah, looking forward to you're going to make some moves, I assume.
Yeah, look, I think this is probably the impetus for me to actually sign up. It's always just the admin heavy load.
Well, yes, this has been administratively light, which is nice. It was all online. You did have to upload some documents. Well, not even. You just type your doc numbers in and it did all the verification online.
Okay.
And away we went.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And, so, but you still have to upload a signature.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just did it on the page and took a photo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Because that's the thing. You still need to sign in wet ink.
Yeah.
Nice. Can you, and then can you track, are you going to track it through ShareSite? Are you able to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You it's can. Got that functionality.
Yeah.
ShareSite
you,
does.
You can, so you just get the unit price from the guys.
Oh, so you got to do it manually, but yeah.
TBC, I'll come back with that next week. Yeah. Because okay. ShareSite does have the ability to track this stuff. Usually it's like the M funds and those sorts of things. So I don't know. It was able to do everything through Equity Builder. So. I'll find out
like, okay.
all of the products through Equity Builder. Yeah.
Nice. Well, look, that's obviously nothing in this show is financial advice, as our disclaimer at the very front says. And, you know, this is a move that Bryce and Harriet have made based on their financial circumstances, the pools of cash that they're swimming in, and their specific life stage and goals. So,
not a buy, hold, or sell.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one for you to bring to the table. And I think if there's any actions to take out of this, it's to go back and listen to our previous interviews with the guys from Fairlight, because they're some of our favorite conversations. We'll include the Landstar one in the show notes. But yeah, just search Equity Mates Fairlight.
So next stop, private equity.
Oh, really?
I'd love to. Don't know how. Going to have to bring some people on the show to find out.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I know there are a couple of fundies now who have achievable minimums in their funds.
So you'd prefer to put your money into a fund rather than put your money with in the management company?
As in like a KKR or something?
Yeah, because a lot of the big ones, Blackstone, KKR, Apollo, they're all listed over in the US. So you can just buy their equity.
TBC. I think I wouldn't mind a fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your minimum? Your minimum is going to be at least like 50 grand.
I know. Schroders have one that's 20.
But like the question that, and like this is coming as an uneducated position.
Yeah.
But the ones with the lower minimums, have lower asset quality?
Yeah, of course.
Like
as I said,
the superstar PE funds don't mess around with us because they go to like the endowments and the institutions, and they're the ones that buy Sydney Airport.
As I said,
was a super fund, but you know what I mean.
It's like, a next stop, so a lot of DD to do from here. But I think it's something I want in my portfolio.
I would love, and this might exist. I would love just an ETF that just owned all the publicly listed private equity players in equal weighting. Just one purchase, and you got like 20% each in the big five. Done.
But do they actually perform well if you're like from a listed point of view, or is it?
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Well,
do you know what I mean? Like the returns.
Put it this way: Blackstone's up 263% in the past 5 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, not good enough for you.
Nah.
KKR's up 318% in the past 5 years.
But, okay. Is that their fun? Like that's the stock price, but relative to.
Apollo
fund performance?
Apollo up 293% in the past 5 years.
Yeah, okay. It's all right. But you know what I'm asking? You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's the underlying fund performance in that same period?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there are some funds that have done better, but I'm sure there are other funds that have done worse.
Mm.
Because like, unlike equity funds where if there's multiple funds, they're probably all investing in, you know, like classic example, Magellan had a high conviction fund and a global fund. The overlap between those two funds was pretty high. It's just that the high conviction fund was their best 12 to 15 ideas. The global fund was their best like 30 ideas or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas in a private equity fund, each vehicle is buying completely different assets.
Yeah.
You know, they're buying they're buying a whole company in one fund, then they raise the next fund and it buys completely different assets.
Yeah.
So the discrepancy between funds is going to be a lot higher in private equity than it is in public equities.
Okay.
So that's me completely avoiding answering your question, but saying I reckon there would be a range. And I reckon the performance of their public, like the, of their management company's equity would probably be in the midpoint of that range.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll take it on notice because That's the next thing I want to be.
No, don't take it on notice. BetaShares, GlobalX, Vanguard and iShares, why don't you make a private equity ETF that we can just invest in?
Yeah, true. There you go. Let's get it done. Anyway, Ren, that's it for Portfolio Moves. Let's move on.
All right, Bryce. Well, we said at the start of this episode that we're done with the Magnificent Seven and we're all in on the Magnificent 11 now. So we first heard about these companies when we spoke to JP Morgan Asset Management's Kerry Craig.
Yeah.
God, I was sick for that interview.
You were sick for that, yeah. Fresh off a golf trip.
If people have listened to it.
Yeah, apologies for that.
But the acronym that was coined by Goldman Sachs is the Granolas. We've also heard them referenced as the Magnificent 11. So introduce us to this world.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that we first heard it in our recent interview with Kerry Craig only a matter of weeks ago, but it was first coined by Goldman Sachs in 2020.
Yeah.
So we're a bit behind the times. The term is granolas, and this refers to 11 stocks from the European stock market, which is, I guess, the European answer to the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Sort of answer.
Sort of. I think financial media has a real desire to pattern match, and it's like something's happening here, let's find it there. You know, it was the same in Australia that we spoke about the WAX stocks as our answer to FANG.
Yeah.
There's just this massive desire to be like, something's capturing a lot of attention somewhere. How do we make an equivalent?
Okay.
And this is a classic example of that. Magnificent 7, Magnificent 11, they are fundamentally different.
Mm.
The Magnificent 7 is like a concentrated tech grouping, whereas the Magnificent 11 is a lot more diversified.
Mm.
And I would say there's a lot more interest in them because of their relative value rather than just their, you know, strap in and hold on to your seat unbelievable growth story.
Mm.
But the thing that unites the two of them is that they've both had pretty incredible stock price performance of late.
They have, Ren. They've absolutely pumped out some incredible returns. So before we get to performance, let's actually go through what the 11 companies are that make up Granola.
All right. I'll give you the letter. You give me the company.
Okay.
G.
G is GSK, healthcare company specializing in pharmaceutical and biotech with a $68 billion market cap, up 13% in the past 12 months.
Nice. R.
R is Roche, also in healthcare. They're a Swiss multinational healthcare company operating under pharmaceuticals and diagnostics, up 13% in the last 12 months, $210 billion market cap.
Nice. Next up, we've got A.
A is ASML, a tech company, $360 billion market cap. They make chip makers.
They make lithography machines.
They're up 46% in the last 12 months.
N.
N is Nestle, consumer. They call it consumer defensive, $53 billion market cap. A Swiss company specializing food and drink, as everyone would know. They're actually down 15% last 12 months.
Mm, this is a classic example of why I don't think the Magnificent 11 and the 7 are similar.
Well,
because
listening.
The world's largest food company is not the same as NVIDIA.
No.
Anyway, we've got to N. Next up, we've got another N.
Another N is Novartis, a healthcare company, Swiss pharmaceutical, 188 billion market cap, up 6% last 12 months.
And then, would you believe it? Another N.
Another N, yes. Novo Nordisk, healthcare company, Danish pharmaceutical, known for Ozempic, $560 billion market cap, up 62% last 12 months.
Now, next up, you would think that granolas goes to O after this, but yes. Goldman Sachs are good at maths, not good at spelling, because next up we've got L.
Yeah, so coming in at number seven is L'Oreal. I think they've dropped the L to get O so that they can make granolas. consumer defensive, a French personal care consumer goods company, $229 billion market cap, pretty flat for the last 12 months.
Next up we have L.
Yeah, finally, LVMH, consumer cyclical. They're a French luxury goods company, up market cap of $410 billion, down 4%.
And now we've got A.
Yes, AstraZeneca, healthcare, British-Swedish pharmaceutical, $165 billion market cap and down 6%.
Most known for the COVID vaccines.
Yes.
Coming in at number 10, we've got S.
We've got S, which is SAP, German software company in technology, $219 billion and the second best performer of the group, up 53% for the last 12 months.
Yeah, if people work at large corporates, they probably their technology to try and book leave, amongst other things.
Yeah.
And then finally, number 11, we've got S again.
Yeah, Sanofi, another healthcare company, French pharmaceutical, $111 billion market cap, down 10% last 12 months.
Nice. So that, in Goldman Sachs' estimation, spells granolas.
Yeah.
In my estimation, it spells granlars.
Yes, granlars.
But either way, 11 European companies that span, well, a lot of healthcare, some consumer companies and luxury goods. Six of 11 is healthcare.
Mm. US is tech, Europe is healthcare, and a bit of consumer is the vibe that comes out of that.
Now, here's my question, Bryce.
Mm.
Have they just picked most of the large non-industrial companies in Europe?
Well, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean they could have gone, you know, the Exxons and...
No, well, Exxon's American, but...
you know what I mean, the... Shell, BHP, whatever.
BHP is Australian. yeah, it's what I'm saying is there's a lot of just like large cap European stocks, ex industrials, like ex oil and gas, ex materials, ex resources.
I think what they have done here is actually taken companies that have contributed significant gain to the overall index, similar to what Magnificent Seven.
Nestle down 15% in the last year.
Well, they do represent 20% of the combined value of all 600 companies in the StockX Europe Index. So not as much as Magnificent Seven.
I feel like that just reinforces my point.
What, that there's bigger?
No, that they've basically just gone all large caps ex industrials.
Yeah, if you look at actually the biggest companies in Europe, these are 11 of the top 15.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it up quickly.
But the Magnificent Seven's no different. They've just got Magnificent Sevens. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just the biggest, companies ex...
Well, not ex nothing.
Not ex
it's
nothing.
Just
it's just the biggest companies.
Yeah, that's true.
So what we should do is come with an ASX 200 top 10 acronym.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's like giving it an acronym gives the illusion of more nuance and more work and more like stock picking.
Yeah.
Whereas really what they've done is just said, we're bullish on Europe.
Well, yeah, we're bullish on the biggest companies in Europe.
Which is Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're thinking about how they've gone from a performance point of view versus the Magnificent Seven, So
I've got the top 10 companies in the StockX Europe 600. Nestle in, Novo Nordisk in, ASML in, LVMH in, Shell Industrials, Novartis in, AstraZeneca in, Roche in, Total Energies Industrials, SAP in.
So two out of eight.
And they're the energy companies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that really just kind of proves where we're at.
Yeah.
Goldman is long Europe.
Goldman's long Europe, and I reckon we should make an ASX 200 acronym, see what we can come up with. So in terms of performance, they've accounted for 60% of all gains in the European stocks over the past year. Makes sense. But if you look at them compared to the Magnificent Seven, so since 2021, total returns equal weighted portfolio, The granolas doubled in value with a total return of 103% compared to the total return of the Magnificent Seven of 128%. So not too far off over that period of time. I think the big difference, though, is if you look at what has happened over the last 12 months, some of the granolas have had negative performance. The top Magnificent Seven have just shot the lights out, albeit Tesla.
Yeah, they've had negative performance.
Tesla has.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's one out of seven, if you look at...
Wasn't that one out of 11?
No, Nestle's down, Sanofi was LVMH, down, yeah. AstraZeneca's down, LVMH is down, L'Oreal's flat.
Fair.
So then you've got Nvidia up 224%, Meta 136%. So anyway, guess the question is, if you want to invest in these companies, you're just looking for the top 50 ETF
just
StockX.
Don't look. So I don't think there are any granola ETFs out there now, but I think this is a classic example of where an index is a better option than a granola's index.
Mm.
Because a granola's index, if you bought it thinking long term, you're really making a pretty undiversified bet on 11 European companies.
Mm.
Whereas if you buy a European index, you get exposure to the performance of those 11 European companies, but you also get the built-in resilience in the investment product that if they start to fall away, they get smaller and smaller weightings in the index. They eventually could get the flick from the index. But more importantly, the new companies that are coming through and driving the growth of the index, you also get exposure to them as they grow. And that you wouldn't get if you just bought a granola's ETF.
Yeah.
And that's like, that is the real elegance and beauty of an index product, that companies die, but indexes are forever, as we titled a chapter in our second book.
And might get tattooed.
Don't stress, just invest. Indexes are like, they're the really, truly only bottom drawer investment, in my personal, non-personal advice opinion, but just because of the structure of that product. And so, yeah, like I own a mainland Europe ETF in my core portfolio that I dollar cost average into. And so cheering these granolas on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, they've contributed, just like the Magnificent Seven, to, I guess, outsized returns for the index. So,
do you own a Europe index?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't own a FTSE. FTSE's dead to me. FTSE's dead. I noticed that of all the 11 as well.
AstraZeneca?
I think only one is London-based, yeah. Yeah, British. Oh, it's British Swedish.
Hold on. No, AstraZeneca's listed in London. JSK? Yeah.
Is it? And it's London, yes. There's two. Two out of 11. Come on, UK.
Yeah, well, I mean, what? The rest is Germany and France.
Swiss.
Oh, Swiss, yeah. Swiss does well.
Doing well.
ASML is Dutch.
So, anyway, I don't have a FTSE, but I do have a European ETF, so we'll have benefited. But Ren, let's take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to answer a community question about compounding. We'll be right back.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, welcome back to Equity Mates.
Let's ask the community.
Equity Mates. Hey, Equity Mates.
I just had a question.
Hey, Bryce, hey, Brent.
I've got a question.
Your question answered.
So we have a question this week that has come from Matt Rose from the Equity Mates Facebook community that got a lot of likes and interest, so we thought we'd bring it on the show and answer it. So, Ren, I'm going to read the question out, so give me a moment here. He says, hey, guys, you recently laid out why compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. Now, we spoke about that in a previous episode.
Link in show notes.
Link in show notes. And you've spruiked its magical, mythical qualities. But I was hoping you could talk about when compounding doesn't work and in those cases what the trade-off might be. For example, I was fortunate enough to buy Meta at a decent price and have held through the more recent growth. However, due to outside circumstances, I haven't been able to keep a consistent DCA into that holding or dollar cost average. Ignoring for a moment that Meta recently announced a dividend, I would assume that without dividend and without dollar cost averaging, I am not actually experiencing compounding but just relying on value increase. Is my assumption correct? And if so, what does need to be in place for compounding to occur? Good question.
Great question.
We had a lot of people comment on that saying, I've been thinking the same thing. You know, I'm not able to consistently put money in and I don't have dividends or reinvestments on. Am I missing out on the eighth wonder of the world? Let's go.
Well, I mean, the good news is you're not missing out.
Yeah.
Conceptually, where we should start is separating compounding and dollar cost averaging, because compounding happens whether or not you're adding to your investment.
Mm.
Compounding happens because your investment grows. And then the year after, it grows some more and it grows some more. And a consistent rate of return over a long period of time becomes really powerful because you're growing not just your original investment, but all previous years' returns. And that doesn't need to be cash. So let's use Meta and use really simple numbers. Let's say you put $100 in and it grows 10%. And that then gets to $110. Then if Meta grows 10% the next year, it's growing from that $110 base for you. You're getting $11 rather than the 10 because that's 10% of 110. And so then you have $121. And then the next year, if Meta grows 10% again, you're getting $12.10 rather than what you got in previous years. And so that's not you adding more to the investment, and that's not you getting dividends and reinvesting. That's actually the value of your investment, the capital value of your investment growing consistently year after year without you doing anything.
Mm.
That's the beauty of compounding.
Mm.
Now, you can supercharge compounding by dollar cost averaging and adding more to your investment. If you're getting dividends, reinvesting those dividends, those are all things that supercharge compounding. But don't worry, you're not missing out on compounding if you've just invested some money and not done anything more.
Yeah. I think what's also important, Ren, is that part of the question was around when doesn't it work and, like, does this apply to any investment? When we're generally talking about it as well, you know, we're talking about it at an index level. We often say, you know, the market return, or if you get, you know, the $100 challenge that we do on Get Started Investing, if you get 8% per year for 40 years, you get $350,000, you know, those sorts of things. We're talking about that at a market level.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, keep in mind that if your individual stocks, they can go to zero and you're going to absolutely get no compounding. So,
yeah, sure. But at the same time, individual stocks compound in the same way.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like it's not an isolated thing. It's just that they'll compound at a wide range of growth rates.
Yeah.
Whereas when we talk about this sort of 8% to 10% consistent growth, that's like the general average across markets for indexes.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, has compounded at about 20% a year for 60-odd years.
Mm.
So everything compounds. Things can compound down as well.
Definitely.
Like if you have a consistent declining growth rate, then you get very small very quickly.
Mm.
Well, it actually slows as the growth curve. But anyway, let's not worry about that too much. So how's it different for individual companies? Like the principles are the same, but it's then like the rates of growth and fall can be different.
Mm.
And as we actually said in the earlier segment, you've got to remember that companies die, but indexes are forever.
Mm.
So I think the stat is since the 1950s in the US, about 70% of companies listed on the stock market have gone bankrupt. Which is wild to think about.
Mm.
But in that time, the index has just powered on and on and on because new generations of companies come to market and keep growing and do well. And that's the difference between expecting compounding out of an index, which is set up to be ongoing and expecting compounding out of a company, which is, history shows, often finite.
Mm. So great question, Matt. I hope we've been able to answer it. If you are sitting at home thinking, man, I'm not able to put more money in to accelerate it, don't fear, you are not missing out on the eighth wonder of the world. But keep in mind, the beauty of compounding and where the magic really happens is over time and over a very long period of time. That's where things kick in. So just to put some numbers to it, you know, if Matt had put $1,000 into Meta and we are getting that 8% return, no dividends, no additional investments, at the end of the first year, he would have $1,080 in terms of value of Meta. If he left it and it did another 8% at the end of the second year, it's $1,166. End of the third year, it's $1,260. And by the end of the 10th year, you're at $2,159. So you've doubled your investment over the 10 years if it's just compounding at 8% per year. That could assume some years it's up 10%, one year it might go down a bit, but on average, it's gone up 8% per year. So you can see there, without having to put anything into it, you are... What you would, I guess what people are saying, Ren, is this just seems like a capital gains, which it is, but every year the gain is multiplied because of the capital base that you're starting with each year.
Compounding is capital gain.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's the compounding nature of it comes by keeping it in there time and time over a period of time, and it just exponentially grows.
Yeah. Now let me take your worked example and give you another worked example. Meta is up 136% over the past 12 months.
Wow.
If you put $1,000 in and it grew at 136% a year for the next 10 years.
Wow.
How much money do you think you'd have?
Oh, $1,000 over 10 grand. Easy.
Yeah, definitely over 10 grand. Yeah. You'd have $393 million.
What?
Yeah. Well, it's more than doubling every year.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like one into more than two into more than
300 million.
That's what it says here.
Wow. A thousand into
Hold on. Is that right? Yeah. So, So from year one, you've got about 1,000. That goes to 2.5 grand in year two, which goes to 9 grand in year. Sorry, 2.5 grand in year one, 9 grand in year two, 34 in year three. 125 in year four, a bit shy of $500,000 in year five, 1.6 in year six, just shy of 6 in year seven, 21.5 in year eight, 78 in year nine. Anyway, yes, it's right.
It's a lot. If you'd like to ask a question, head to equitymates.com/contact. All the information is there. And you can also come and join us in the Facebook community group where there's plenty of conversation going on as well.
And if you want to fact check that compound interest calculator, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can't use the Money Smart compound interest calculator because they cap your total annual interest rate at 20%.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. But I'll put this other one in so you can put 10 years at 136% and see what I just saw but couldn't really explain.
Oh, goodness me. All right, love it. Well, that brings us to the end of our episode today. Stay tuned. Tomorrow we've got Buy or Sell with Adam in your feed, so stick around for that. And please, if you can leave us a 5-star review and a comment in your podcast app.
Yeah.
That'd be really great.
Yeah. Surely Fairlight are giving us a positive review after your little spruik earlier.
Well, Ren, always good to chat. We'll leave it there.
Sounds good.
You have been listening to an EquityMates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, EquityMates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs, or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. EquityMates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540-697.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.